And welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert
Brothers.
Speak
for yourself.
And we're broadcasting this week from the Sonia Henny Wing here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, not the Sonia Henny Tutu, the no. Sonia Henny Wing.
The wing, yeah. I didn't know she had wings.
Well, she does. Yeah. If you have a tutu, you probably have wings too, I guess.
She is quite a woman. She is quite a woman.
Okay, if you'd like to talk to us, if you have a question about your car or you want to just talk to us in general about anything at all.
Why would anybody want to do that?
We'll find out. The number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Greg calling from Troy, Maine. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great,
Troy. Troy, Maine.
Well, I got a problem with a clunk in my front end of my truck.
Yeah, clunk. Let me see if that's on the list. I happen to have here the official, did you ever see this? Ford, the Ford Motor Company of this country.
Greg doesn't have a Ford.
Wait a minute, Greg. The Ford Motor Company actually publishes an official list of sounds.
Oh,
did you ever see this? And what'd you say you have? A clunk?
Well, actually, it's either a clunk or actually more like a tunk.
Well, according to them, it's either a clunk or a thump.
Well, it is defined as,
let me see if it fits this definition, heavy metal-to-metal sound like a hammer striking steel. Is that what you have?
Well, it's not like a hammer striking steel.
No, that's a poor description. A hammer striking steel is a clink.
No, we have clink. A clink.
Or a clank.
They don't have clink or clank. We have
Are we
clunk.
Clink and clank?
We have clunk and we have thump.
Greg. What kind of a Chevy do you have?
It's a Dodge Ram 50 pickup, eh? You know, one of those Mitsubishis in disguise.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, we know all about those.
Okay. Well, it's got about 18,000 miles on it. It's 88. And you go down the road,
yeah,
and you pull away from a toll booth, and you get this kind of, like, delayed tunk or clunk.
Just one time?
Well, yeah, every time you start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it coming from the front, the middle,
yeah,
or the back?
Yeah, it seems like on the front end, but it's kind of hard to tell. But it's like, you can tell when you kind of go over frost heaves or potholes or things like that, because that's when it happens, too.
Right. Oh. It'll happen any time the shock absorber moves, because what it is, is the shock absorber is binding.
Binding, okay.
Yeah.
Because I took it to the dealer, you know, and they put it up on the lift, and they said, they couldn't see anything.
Well, that's good that they couldn't see anything.
They won't see anything because, I mean, first of all, if it is, in fact, a shock, you've taken all the weight off the shock when you put the thing up on the lift.
Well, more than that, however, they can't see anything because they'd have to have X-ray vision to see what's going on because what's going on is
inside the shock.
Inside.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't do it anymore, is that right?
No, it doesn't. It's done it again. Matter of fact, almost as soon as I got it out of there. And also, it does it if you have the wheel turned all the way over, steering wheel turned all the way over, and you back up, you'll get this tunk, too.
It has to be turned all the way over.
Well, that seems to do it when you do that. Or if you go forward and stop, it goes tunk, and then it has to go back.
Right.
And then it goes
just
tunk.
At the last instant before the thing does its complete nosing. When you come to a stop, you'll notice that the bumper, just at the last instant, does this thing called a little nosedive. It just dips a little bit closer to the pavement. That's when you hear the thunk, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you'll hear it oftentimes when you take off from a dead stop. Just the first inch that you move, you get that little lunk.
Yep.
Yeah. They should be able to reproduce the sound, not by putting it on the lift, but by leaving it on the ground and pushing down as hard as they can on the bumper. Like, you got a 300-pound mother-in-law?
Well, geez, I don't know if...
Do you have 250-pound mothers-in-law?
You know, I leaned up and down, you know, I pushed up and down.
Are you 300 pounds?
Will you leave the guy alone?
Hey, listen. Anyway, I tried bouncing it up and down on the fender, you know.
You know,
pushing up and down. I couldn't make it to make any noise.
Suggest to them that it's the shock.
Okay.
Have them replace them, and the noise will go away.
Okay. Is it dangerous at all? Or
no.
It just makes noise.
It's only dangerous because you'll be thinking about it so much that you're going to drive off the road.
Yeah, I worry a lot.
I know. I can tell that.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't even hear this. If you heard my brother's car, you'd say, oh, have him replace that one shock and the noise will go away.
Okay.
And then do the other one for good measure.
Just keep things in balance.
Right.
Yeah.
See you later.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck, Greg.
Bye-bye now.
Troy, Maine.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, I'm Shirley from Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi, Shirley. Delaware.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Shirley?
I have a 1989 Nissan Maxima.
Nice car.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah.
But it's got a little problem. And at the risk of having you tell me that it's me that has a screw loose and not my car...
You're going to tell us about it anyway.
Yes, I am.
That's very brave of you.
I've had it to the dealership twice, and I think they do think
and
I have
they think you're nuts, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be the final judge and jury here. Go ahead.
All right. It's in the steering. About 3 weeks ago, I noticed that when I would turn a corner with it, the steering would start to jerk. And it's an intermittent problem. It wouldn't do it all the time.
Was it more likely to do it when you first started the car in the morning than it was to do it after you had driven the car for a half an hour?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Strike one.
Strike one.
Okay. We'll get three chances, and then you can hang up.
No, this is 20 questions. We get to ask questions. Okay. So you're making a turn. Now, is it more likely to happen when you're taking a turn going at a very slow speed or taking a turn going at, like, 30 miles an hour?
Well, maybe it's... I think it's more at a slow speed.
Right. So if you're going around a corner in the city... You're more likely to notice this happening than if you were coming off of a highway on a clover leaf, for example.
Right.
For example, if you were in a parking lot, you'd feel the steering wheel just doing little tugs, gentle tugs back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except that lately now, in the last 3 days, it's gotten so that it's more like jerks.
Here's a question. Now, this is a toughie. Have you ever noticed this happening when you weren't taking a turn?
In the last 3 days, I've noticed that when I'm driving on the interstate, that the steering seems to be stiffer.
He's trying to establish if, in fact, you have a bad tire.
Yeah, because it's
I don't think you have a bad tire, because you are obviously a very sensitive individual, and you know this is pretty subtle what's going on, or at least it started off pretty subtly. And my guess is that if it were a bad tire, you would feel the problem all the time, and they would have figured it out at the dealership.
See, it's either a bad tire or it's something wrong with the power steering. I think that it is a tire.
Right.
And I would suggest the following, that you ask the dealership to take the two front tires and put them in the back, and then take the two back tires and put them in the trunk.
Oh, good.
and put the two back tires on the front. Just for a test, drive around the block. I mean, you'll know immediately if it's going to happen, right?
All right.
And I will predict, Nostradamus predicts, it will go away, and...
Nostradummy is going to predict.
Nostradummy. I predict that it will go away because I will bet you, I will stake my brother's reputation on it.
Worth beans.
It's a tire.
It may be, and it's often the mistake that mechanics make, that somebody comes in with a problem and they can't figure out anything. And they'll say, well, I can't figure it out. Bring it back sometime when it's worse or when it's doing it, da-da-da-da-da. But if they do nothing at all, they'll be no closer to solving it than they were before you brought the car
in. Right. I mean, they got to start doing some scientific investigation. They've got to do an experiment. They got to try to narrow it down. Is it the tires? Is it the steering? What is it?
Well,
and this is a simple test.
Why would the tires go bad after less than 20,000?
You know, here's a funny thing. I mean, we may have even mentioned this recently on the air.
Go ahead.
We drive thousands, if not 10 or 20 cars a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm waiting for the funny part.
And the incidents with a CE of bad tires seems to be very, very high.
Do I have to explain everything to you?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes.
No, he's
not
talking
you,
to me.
Sorry.
I'm talking to me.
I'm talking to Nostradummy. The reason we have so many cars with bad tires is that these cars are in what's called the test fleet. They're for people that do
all
things like
us. All
the
more reason they should be perfect.
And they are. When they leave the factory, they're perfect. It's dinglings like you and me that drive them into curbstones and bounce them off parked cars.
No.
That ruins these tires, causes the belts to break, so you drive down the road and you get this boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think it's poor quality.
Well, I can speak from my own personal experience that I have wrecked a few tires by driving into curbstones.
Yeah, but in any event, the symptom you would get if the tire is bad in this way, and the way being that the layers inside the tire are beginning to separate from each other.
The belts.
And what happens is, as you drive, they shift and they sort of squirm, and it makes you feel like something is wrong with the steering, and the steering wheel will actually jiggle back and forth. And it's very, very common, and it's not because it's got 20,000 miles on it. It probably had it from the day you got the car.
Right, and it just may be exacerbated by making a turn, and it sounds like...
And it'll make it worse, too.
Shirley, have them swap the tires and call us back in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
See you later.
And tell your
Thank
dog
you.
To shape up.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these very important messages.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Well, you know, it's time for the answer to last week's puzzler.
Again, huh?
It seems like puzzle. They just come and go and
they
come
do.
And go.
And I can't and ever remember any of them from one week to the next. You'd think that a week was not a long time.
Well, I'm going to try to help you along a little bit here.
I'll give you a hint.
A few key hints.
Let me see if I can just do this on my own. It wasn't a mathematical puzzle. Was it a word puzzle?
Well, yeah, it did have many words in it.
Was it an automotive puzzle?
It was an automotive puzzle.
And I don't remember it.
Oh,
I do remember it.
Oh. You just read my notes.
I read your notes. Now I remember it. Yes. Did we get any right answers to this? We did? That's incredible.
It is, because...
It was such a lousy puzzler. I don't know how anyone could have come up with the right answer.
I am constantly amazed at the ability of our listeners to come up with answers to puzzlers that no normal people should know the answers
to. Testimony to the intelligence of the NPR listening audience.
It is. Well, it's time. Without further ado.
Which is somewhat of a contradictory statement, since they're listening to us.
Yes, we know that. Occasionally, a customer will come into the garage and complain about our smell.
That's not surprising, the way you guys operate.
After I explained that it's just my brother. No, but there is an odor that comes from vehicles that have catalytic converters.
Yes.
Everyone says, ooh, 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 I know. Well, that's not the odor.
Not that odor.
It's not that odor, the rotten egg smell that we're talking about. There is a different odor, and the origin of this is indeed from the converter, but it's not from inside the converter, nor does it have anything to do with the kind of gasoline that cars that have converters, that is, i.e. unleaded gasoline,
right,
those kinds of cars use.
Right.
So the question is, what is it about catalytic converter cars that makes this other smell occur? And I think I gave a hint. If cars of 50 years ago had catalytic converters, this smell would not have been there. And the smell is something you'll probably, when you finally hear the answer. I like to get right to the point and give the answer. I don't like to drag these out. So.
I just want to predict that when you give this answer, all 25 million people who listen to our show
are gonna go,
this is gonna be the biggest groan. Let's see this. Where's that?
Put on the groan meter.
This groan. They have Ford has groan. Grown or moan.
They have grown, actually, quite a bit.
A continuous, low-pitched humming sound. There will be a continuous, low-pitched humming sound throughout the nation.
Like a wave sweeping the nation.
Like a wave sweeping the nation when you give this answer, because this is the lousiest puzzler we've...
Well, it took us a long time to figure this out the first time we saw it, so I figured it might take... And I'm sure there are people out there that have had this odor coming from their cars and couldn't figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And what it is a plastic trash bag, when they're everywhere... has stuck to the catalytic converter. And the reason this wouldn't have happened 50 years ago is that there weren't
any catalytic converters.
There weren't any plastic trash bags.
And there weren't any plastic trash bags. Yeah.
And the converter is so hot that all a plastic bag has to do is just even come close to it.
Well, the only good thing about this is that the whole thing had to do with a bad smell, and this puzzler stinks. But nonetheless, we have a winner anyway.
I thought it was
Bob Burmeister of Springfield, Illinois.
I passed this by our staff. The staff said, gee, that sounds like a good puzzle.
Yeah, well, that's why they're
not here anymore.
Where they are.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, the plastic bag.
You have to go into the room with all the pillows on the walls.
The plastic bag sticks to the converter. You get it, it melts, and you smell that plastic, you know,
Look, Bob Burmeister of Springfield, Illinois, we're going to send you the Car Talk T-shirt when it comes in. People have not been washing the T-shirt to the level that we'd like to have it cleaned up. I mean,
right.
Come on, this is going from one person to another.
Don't worry.
There are certain levels of sanitary technology that we have to adhere to. So please, if you have the T-shirt, do a little more. Come on.
Okay. Well, look, I promise to have a new puzzler that'll be better than this. That's not so hard to do, actually.
That is not hard.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is Glenn. I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Glenn.
Glenn, what's up?
Well, I've got an 86 Mercury Colony Park wagon, one of the great big tanks you see all the time in the Persian Gulf.
Where is Colony Park? I mean, we know where Menlo Park is.
Well, you do, huh?
There are two Menlo Parks.
There are two Menlo Parks.
I'm sorry, Glenn?
It must be in Mercury, Michigan is the only thing I can figure out.
Probably. Probably, but we'll leave that for another. That'll be a puzzler.
Yeah. At the time also, that's right. And it's about 92,000 miles young.
Yeah.
And just recently, it's had a tough time warming up. It turns right over in the morning with no problem. And the engine will fast idle exactly the way that it's supposed to for about 5 seconds.
And then down it goes.
And then no. It drops down to an almost normal idle for about 2 seconds, goes up again and down again and up again several times. Not at all disconcertingly. It almost sounds like it...
Like it should be doing this.
Like it should be doing that, except that I suspect it's probably not.
Well, no, I don't think it's supposed to do this. But
we call this surging. Similar to the suits that we used to wear once.
It calms itself down within about 30 seconds, and you can put it into reverse and back out of the driveway and put it into drive, and it goes great up to about the second stop sign, at which point, when you step on the gas, it instantly dies, turns right back over again, and drives off as if it was a brand-new car right out of the showroom.
Mm.
And it always dies at the same spot. It goes through one stop sign with no problem at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can't avoid the second stop sign, which is what I thought would be the best thing to do.
Well,
go right through it. Don't stop.
Now, here's what you do. Go out tomorrow night with your hacksaw and cut that stop sign down. And boy, you have to bring in all your hacksaw.
No, you got to turn
a shovel.
You have to turn it the other way.
Right, and plant it at the other side of the intersection. So they'll have to stop.
Great.
No, here's the problem, I think. I'm assuming that you've had this tuned up recently.
Yeah, it's been tuned up, and it's been put on the computer, and there are no codes.
No,
I know why
by
there are
the
no
time
codes.
By the time you get it there to get it looked at, everything's operating hunky-dory.
Yeah,
or hunky-dorily.
Right.
Or hunkily-dorily.
Well, the reason there are no codes is that what's wrong with it probably won't store in the computer's memory. Okay? Because it's not a hard fault. Okay. In other words, it's not a component that's broken. What is wrong, I would guess, is that the idle air control is probably sticking. It's gummed up. After 92,000 miles, you'd be gummed up too.
Mm-hmm.
Engines are dirty.
Okay.
And they manufacture things like carbon and the like. And there are certain waxes and paraffins and other things that are in the gasoline that no matter how good a cleaner you use or how high an octane you use, are bound to gum things up. So you might have your mechanic take this thing apart and clean it and put it back in.
Okay, now what's this called again?
The idle air control.
The idle air control.
Yeah.
Okay.
But have your mechanic clean this thing, and maybe they'll find out that that's what it is. Or the part, in fact, could be faulty. But if it were really faulty, it would probably show up as a code in the computer.
Okay.
All right?
We'll give it a shot. Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Yeah, give it a shot. That usually helps, too. That's what I do. I give them a shot with a hammer.
Okay. I'll
see.
Try.
Good luck, Glenn.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Shea. I'm calling from Denver, and I have a 1989 Acura Integra, which developed a sort of shimmy or vibration in the front end about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I've had all sorts of things on it checked. I've had the wheels spin balanced, and I've had the tires checked for blemishes, and I've had the motor mounts checked, and I'm running out of ideas, and the mechanics think I'm crazy.
Under what conditions does it shimmy?
At about 30 to 40 miles per hour.
And if you go above or below, it will smooth right out?
Right.
And what have they done? Have they balanced everything, of course?
Yeah, they balanced everything. I had a similar problem in an 86 Honda that turned out to be motor mounts were too flexible. I argued with the mechanic about that one for months, and they eventually recalled the motor mounts.
Mm.
It's a really similar phenomenon, but apparently the motor mounts are okay.
Have they tried moving the tires around?
Yeah, they've tried that.
Yeah, no, it is. I'll tell you, it is a. This is not a tire-related problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You happen to have intimate knowledge here?
No, I'll just a
feeling.
Just a gut feeling. I'll give you the answer by way of little anecdote. Not a little anecdote, actually. A customer who has an old Ford, I think a '69 Ford of some kind. Came into the shop the other day with this huge hunk of iron. And he said to me, I'm not sure, but I think this fell off my car. And it was a piece of iron. It looked like many plates all stuck together, bolted together. And he said, did it come from my car? And I said, yes, it did. And he said, it seems to run perfectly okay without it. Why was it there? And what it was a counterweight that was hung on the back of the transmission. Because when they put the thing on the road after they built the car,
it vibrated.
Somebody
like crazy.
Took it out for a test drive and he said, oh, jeez, you're not going to believe this, but this thing shakes like crazy. What are we going to do? Back to the drawing board, and they came up with hang a weight on the back of the transmission, and that will serve to damp these vibrations so that the customer won't complain too much. By the time this thing finally fell off 20 years later, this car had so many other vibrations that he wouldn't have noticed if he had another one anyway.
So what's that got to do with her Integra?
You need that weight. I'll mail it to you because I still have it. It's on my tool bench. Okay, it's on my bench. I'll send it to you. You have to figure out where to attach it. But it's often the case that certain designs, although they may seem perfect, are not perfect.
And Japanese don't make mistakes like that.
Everybody makes mistakes.
We're not talking General Motors here. We're talking...
Everybody makes mistakes. And it may be that, in fact, there's some little vibration being set up because something isn't... There's not enough mass in one area. So they have to figure out where to put a piece of something or other. And changing the motor mounts may, in fact, have fixed the other car.
But if what my brother says is true, this would be a problem which is in all of the Integras.
Yeah, and it may be that they're giving the same snow job to everyone that comes in. I don't know.
Well, why would this problem show up after I'd been driving the car for a year or so?
Oh, because the motor mounts are too soft now.
So in other words,
that story that he just gave you was...
It was a good story, though, wasn't it? Wasn't it a good... It was cute.
Sounded good, but...
Well, I don't know what's wrong, but it may be a... I got it now.
You got a new idea?
It may be a combination of ingredients here. Like that famous pain reliever of years ago.
Yes, Bufferin.
Anacin. That it may be that, in fact, you have some other factors at work. You may have a slightly out of balance axle in combination with a design that wasn't completely, the dynamics of which weren't completely true.
Are you groping here? Hey, Aaron, he doesn't have any idea.
No, everything. See, the dynamics of the whole thing changes because as the car wears in, certain things happen to it that it can allow a vibration that wasn't there to appear.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how to make it disappear?
Right.
Ignore it.
Okay. So yeah. It's not something I need to worry about.
You want any good ideas? Well, I don't know if it's worth worrying about or not, but if you are not satisfied that these guys have really investigated it, then you should take it to another dealer.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they've really gone through the front end and they've really looked at the tires and they've moved tires around, I mean, I always would go to tires and wheels. And I mean, the final test would be if they have another Integra around, just take all four wheels off and put four new ones on. Just for a test drive.
And then leave the state.
And then don't come. if it clears it up, don't come back.
No, that's not going to fix it.
It might.
I doubt it.
Try it.
Okay, well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, but if nothing else, at least if you go someplace else, you'll be comforted if they don't find anything wrong with it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but it's not good to have it vibrate because a vibrating car shakes itself apart.
But it only does it between 30 and 40.
Yeah, but that's a very common speed because
well,
what's the national speed limit? 35.
And if this was my brother's car, he'd be in the nut house by now. Good luck, Aaron.
Okay,
if you find anything, let us know.
Okay.
Because we're always you know, striving for the truth.
Okay, well, I'll let you know if I find the truth.
All righty.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're going to get some messages, then you're going to get the new puzzle, so hang around. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Hi, we're back. This is NPR's Car Talk with Click and Clack the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions about cars, well, car repair, and...
We're here to attempt to answer your questions.
I'm Let's sorry. We're here to attempt to answer your questions about cars, car
repair.
No,
I guess we are here to answer your questions. We don't always do it, but that's why we're here. I'm sorry, you were right the first time. I stand corrected.
This is often the case. We're here to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and Sonia Haney's tutu, if you happen to have any questions about Sonia Haney's tutu or its whereabouts. But before we get into that, it's time for the highly touted and
dazzling, allegedly dazzling, puzzler.
My brother has written 3 books, the collected works of Thomas Q. Magliozzi.
Right.
Okay? Yes.
They're not 3 books. It's actually 1 book, which consists of 3 volumes.
Well,
Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume C.
Right. And they are piled on the shelf. Okay? Now...
They're not piled. They're standing as you would normally put books on the shelf.
They're on the shelf, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. They were a pile of something else. I don't remember. They're on the shelf.
Right.
In order. 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
I'm sorry. 1, 2, and C.
1, 2, and C. Or is it A, B, and 3? I don't even
know. No, 1, 2, and C. A bookworm is going to eat its way from the first page of Volume 1 to the last page of Volume 3,
yes.
Or C. Now, the pages of each of these volumes amount to 3 inches. So each volume is the pages of which are...
1 inches of page. Pages.
No.
Each volume, inch of pages.
Each volume is 3 inches of pages.
No, each volume is 1. Together they are 3.
No. Who's doing the puzzle?
Oh, you changed the numbers.
To protect the innocent.
Oh, okay. Okay. You want each? I don't remember writing that much.
Well, I'll tell you, I opened up one at random the other day.
Yeah.
And it was 25 pages of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but that has nothing to do with anything.
And when I write books, I like to leave room for notes.
Right. So each volume has 3 inches worth of pages,
yes.
And each cover is 1/4 inch thick.
Leather bound. We got the leather bound edition.
No, these are the vinyl ones, I think. You got it?
Got it.
So he's going to eat his way from the first page of Volume 1 to the last page of Volume 3. And we want to know, the covers are 1/4 inch thick. Each volume has 3 inches worth of pages.
Mm-hmm.
How many inches of material does this here bookworm digest?
Willy the worm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any fourth grader can figure this out.
So, if you have one, ask them.
if you think you know the answer, now this is
this is a good one. This is not bad.
In the interest of fairness, I would say that no one should be allowed more than 2 minutes. This is a 2-minute drill.
That's a big hint.
A minute.
Oh, that's a big hint.
This?
Yeah, sure.
Took me an hour to get this. If you think you know the answer, or even if you don't think you know the answer, or even if you think you have the wrong answer.
Send it to us on the back of a $20 bill.
Yes. And right. And
mail it to...
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, WBUR, 630 Commonwealth Ave, Boston.
Our fair city.
Oh, very well done. Massachusetts, 02215.
Hmm.
And you might win. And what do they win, Johnny? from the Spiegel catalog.
We haven't mentioned that. What we haven't mentioned this for a long time. We take all the answers that we get, all 4 or 5 of them, and we pick out the ones that are correct, and we take all the ones which are correct, and we put them into a giant vat, and we throw John Lawler
Wait a minute.
Into the vat.
That is called a dumpster.
Is that what that is?
That's called the dumpster.
Actually, a vat is usually round, isn't it?
Yeah, but that thing we throw them in is called the dumpster.
Yeah, then we throw John Lawler into the dumpster after it, and he comes out with one of these correct answers between his teeth, and that is the winner for the week. And the winner gets...
And some lousy prize like a Car Talk t-shirt or...
Not anything worth wanting.
A Save the Skis. But pretty soon we'll be giving away a wonderful prize.
Oh, that's right. We can't mention it yet.
It's a secret?
This is a secret. Okay. Oh. Don't mention it. This is going to knock your socks off.
Right, so if you're thinking of participating in the puzzle and you have that one answer in you, don't send it in yet because we're going to get rid of these lousy prizes and we're going to give away a good prize.
Well, what makes you think it's good?
Well, different anyway.
It is different.
Anyway, it's time to take a call. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Liz in Seattle.
Liz in Seattle.
Yes.
Hi, Liz. Yes. What's up?
I have this great car. And I really want to keep it. And my husband tells me it's just not practical.
Oh, not practical. Logical. Wait a minute. Wait, we have to guess what kind of car it is.
Okay, that's a great hint.
He says it's not practical.
He says it's not practical, and you love it.
And I love it.
You love it. Now,
did this car predate your marriage?
Definitely.
It did.
But only by a little.
Only by a little. No, this is a good question. Don't tell us. We're going to work on this.
Okay.
The only hint we have is that it's not practical. I think practical,
wait a minute. No, we have to ask...
mean it's costing more than it's
no,
worth.
No, no, I don't
and
think...
And I'll give you a hint.
No, we're going to give you...
It has eyelids. It has wonderful little eyelids.
It has eyelids.
Oh.
No, we don't...
Oh.
400 cubic inches.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Is it made by the Ford Motor Company?
No. It's made... No.
Oh, it's not?
Generous Motors.
Oh, Generous Motors. It's a Corvette.
No.
It's not?
No, it's a 68 GTO.
A 68 GOAT.
Oh, it's wonderful, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I had a 67 Le Mans.
Which
was a wonderful car in its own right. But a 68 GTO, I mean, this was the car that dreams were made out of.
Liz's dreams were made out of.
You bet.
Every high school student in the world wanted to own one of these.
So what's wrong with this deadbeat husband of yours?
Oh, he loves it.
What's his problem?
He's polishing every piece of it. He's taken every piece of it apart. He's got the engine ported. It's got about,
The GTO, he's been responsible for souping it up?
He's been working on it for 18 months.
So now what does he want to do, sell it?
And he wants to sell it, the nut. Yeah.
Why?
Because he says it was just a hobby. You know, it was just fun to put it together.
But this was your car. So he kind of...
It's actually my car.
But he took it by, like, the right of eminent domain?
No, the right of having fixed it.
Oh, it was. In other words, it was a heap when he got a hold of it, huh?
Yeah, it was towed here.
It was a junk.
Towed.
Yeah.
And you could eat off this engine.
And you want to drive it every day.
I don't like to eat off engines. I like to eat off tables with tablecloths.
I've only driven it once, guys. And you know, he's replacing all the carpets in it now. And he's detailing everything out. And he's got this wonderful new stereo system.
Yeah. And his ulterior motive is to get rid of it as soon as your back is turned.
You bet. That's right.
Have you considered dumping him?
Well,
I mean, if it came to that,
be harder to break a new one in.
New husband or a new car? What?
I like the old models.
You do. Yeah.
and if I cried, I could keep it. But you know,
then cry. Do whatever you have to do. I mean, don't take any baloney just because he's your husband. Just tell him, hey, what's his name? Frank?
Mike.
Say, hey, Mike, shape up. This is my car. Thank you very much for fixing it. And now you've made me happy. I'm going to drive it.
No. Right. You have to use a time-honored method. Cry. That always works.
Yes, it does. But we've got one of these modern marriages, you know.
All right.
Doesn't say because I said
then so. Call your lawyer.
I don't cry, so.
Well, Liz, I would do your best to convince him that you really want to keep the car, but when all else fails, whine. That'll work.
I have the definition of that here. Whine is a high-pitched buzzing sound like an electric motor or drill, or
Honey, I want to keep the car.
Oh, this is or Thunderbird or Ripple, which is what we usually drink. See you later, Liz.
Good luck.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, another hour of NPR's Car Talk has somehow or another come to an end.
I can't believe it.
Our producer is Doug Berman, who has occasionally been seen in Sonia Henney's tutu. Our assistant producer is Don Jennings, who can't quite fit into Sonia Henney's tutu.
No.
We had help from Stephanie Cool, who would probably look great in Sonia Henney's tutu if Doug would take it off. Ken Rogers is our engineer and dean of the Department of Auto Musicology, and he's still trying to figure out what a tutu is. Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Lawler, who promised to stop wearing Sonia Henney's tutu as soon as we stop calling him Bugsy.
Which
we will do one of these days.
Right.
When donkeys fly. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, man of science, prison. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Less Is More, a prisoner. Our staff grammarian is I Am Shirley Wright. Our staff composer is Bela Kartok. Mr. Gigi does our hair, as always, of course. That's why
you look great, by the way. Did I mention that?
No,
but bag over your head does wonders.
We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.